Welcome to the podcast of Mosaic Church, celebrating diversity within community.
Amen. Thank you, Jim. Thank you, Willie. If you don't mind, open up your Bibles . I'm going to keep this close by in case my mic keeps making that noise. Open up your Bibles to John 20. John 20. Everybody doing good? See everybody. And it's good to see my family, James' family, Heather was Gloria. See everybody. We typically use these holidays for family time, so hopefully you're going to enjoy some of that. We're going to we actually are having a family time at my house twice today because we have a family in our neighborhood that meets every Sunday night. We're going to grill out tonight, but my family's coming over this afternoon, so it'll be a good time. I hope that yours is filled with that. But regardless, the reason that we celebrate family, the reason we do these things is because God calls us His children. And the only way that that's possible is that we also have lives that are eternal. And that's only possible because of what we celebrate today, the fact that Jesus defeated death. And so we don't have that in common any longer. We have eternity in common with Christ. So no matter what happens to our mortal bodies, we live eternal. And so we are thankful for that. We are excited about that. That is our hope. And that's where we're going to rest at this morning, is this idea of hope. Now, hope is an interesting dynamic. It's an interesting thing, because if you think about hope, it can bond people together, right? We had an entire election kind of based off of, that was President Obama's initial campaign was on hope. And so there's a portion of a nation that's kind of rallying around this cry, right? There is hope when we are pregnant with a child. Sometimes there's hope that it's going to go well. If you have experience like Natalie and I have had, then you hope it's going to go well all the way to the end. Most people, once they're pregnant, the hope turns to expectation, right? And that's why they say the mother is expecting. She's not hoping any longer. She was hoping before she got pregnant. Now she's expecting. But the hope aspect of it is this thing that is very interesting in that it can rally us together, but we're still a little bit uncertain, right? Like, we're hoping that this works out, but we're not quite certain. And this is where John and Peter find themselves as we read this story in John 20. Hope can cause us to remain in one place, or it can cause us to move out from where we're at. And there's this interesting turn in this story. And I'm just going to read the whole thing. We'll talk about it in a few minutes. I want to show you guys a beautiful painting that really depicts kind of this. But there's a turning point in this story, because they've listened to Jesus talk for a number of years now. They have seen miraculous things. And Jesus has now died, but he has prophesied that, you know, it's only going to be for 3 days. They don't quite believe that, right? We can tell by the tears that happened on Friday. If something were to happen and you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it's going to be reversed 3 days later, you don't cry about it right then, right? You're just like, okay, this stinks, but it's only for 2 days, so, you know, I can live with anything for a period of time. But there were tears because they weren't really sure. But there's this interesting turn in this story where hope turned to faith. It's just like the mother who's hoping for pregnancy. And as soon as it comes, it turns to expectation. And you don't see the really cool part is, and we're not going to read all through the New Testament this morning. We're only going to read this scripture, and we're going to read one in Romans. But you don't see Peter or John wrestle with that any longer. It's just a couple months later, they're walking into the temple very soon after the day of Pentecost, and a beggar reaches out his hand and says, I want some silver and gold. This beggar happened to not have the use of his legs. Peter and John, without hesitation, without hoping, but with complete expectation, because their hope had turned to faith, they said, we don't have silver and gold, but here's what we do have. Stand up and walk. Well, let's go. Something happened to these two guys. So let's read this story. John chapter 20, but listen to the hope that they have before they reach the tomb. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him. So Peter and the other disciples started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but he didn't go in. And then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there as well as the cloths that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still laying in its place separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. That last little line of John 20, verse 8, there is a change from hope to expectation. John saw and he believed. They still didn't understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. They just knew it had happened. They didn't understand that the Scripture had prophesied that. And then the disciples went back to where they were staying. The first Easter did not involve big hats and yellow dresses, which I'm a little disappointed in you guys this morning. But it involved Mary, who went to pay her respects, seeing that the stone had been removed. And what was her report? It wasn't, hey guys, he was right. Jesus raised from the dead. It was, they took him. I don't know where they put him. But John and Peter had hope. So they start running. This hope for John and Peter changes to faith when they see. They didn't even need to see Jesus. Mary still needed to see Jesus, and Jesus gave her the opportunity to be the first person to proclaim the gospel, right? He revealed himself to her just a few minutes later in the garden, and he said, now go tell everybody. She was the first preacher of the gospel. She went out and told the disciples what she saw, that she actually had seen them, but what did it say in John 20, verse 8? John and Peter already knew. Their hope had turned to expectation. Their hope had turned to faith. And it never wavered again, so far as we can tell. The Holy Spirit had transformed their lives in that moment. The same thing happened to Paul. Because sometimes it's hope that transforms into faith, and sometimes it's doubt. It's just flat-up doubt that transforms into faith. Remember our friend Paul. Paul did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah. And so, in fact, he believed the exact opposite. doubt. The Holy Spirit transformed his life, took away the doubt, replaced it with faith. So much so that when he was preaching someplace that had upstairs and bored a guy to sleep, the guy falls out of the window on the ground, dies. And in Acts it says he just went down there, raised him from the dead, and went back to preaching. You would assume there would at least be a meal after that. Maybe they would celebrate, sing some songs. But Paul just went back to doing what bored his guy to sleep anyway. But he had this faith. Just went there and said, okay, get up, let's go. So there was this doubt that had turned to expectation. But because of Easter Sunday morning, this is the story we live in, is always in expectation and faith. But we still wrestle with that, right? I mean, there are still things, if when I hear of whatever it is, and I hope, and I think that's the beautiful part of the Easter story, is that there was an, because always in hope there's an element of doubt, right? We're hoping it can be true. I'm hoping I win the lottery. I'm hoping that Ben calms down over a number of years. I'm hoping that my kids stay healthy and safe. And there's an element of doubt, right? Is it just me? The beautiful thing is that's included in the Easter story. Jesus didn't say, I'm not rising for you because you doubt. He just revealed himself to Peter and John eventually, and they saw the fruit of their hope. It was like the scripture in, where is it, Dad? Hebrews? Faith is the evidence of things hoped for, the substance of things not yet seen. My dad and I were fishing one time. I was a little kid. He starts saying that scripture. We start catching fish. We were hoping to catch fish. And when it bites the line, there is now the evidence of this hope. For Peter and John, that evidence came when they saw the linens. For Mary, it was when she saw Jesus. For Thomas, and Jesus still loved Thomas, it was when he touched him. But it's included in this story. I want you to hear very briefly, and then I want to show you guys a painting. So not yet. I'm going to show you a painting in just a second. But Romans chapter 8, verse 18. This is Paul, the doubter, the one who did not believe Jesus was Messiah. He said this, I consider that our present suffering, for those of you who are turning, Romans 8, verse 18. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and the glory of the children of God. Even in creation, hope has been turned into expectation. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to this present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we eagerly wait for our adoption to sonship and redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. This echoes Hebrews. Hope that is seen is no hope at all. For who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not have, then we wait patiently. It is reality. It is faith. But even Paul gives credence to this idea that we all kind of still wrestle with this hope. But it's hope that drives us forward. It was hope that pulled John and Peter out of their room to start wherever they were. I don't know where they were. But wherever they were, I envision them probably in a room, but I could be wrong. They start running because of hope. They're not sure yet. Verse 8 hadn't happened yet. They hadn't yet seen and believed, but they had the hope. Some of us have been running towards something in hope or staying away from something in hope. that if we stay away from it, it'll be good, right? There's this expectation that comes when we see the goodness of God. We no longer hope for it, but we expect it to happen. It happened to Peter and John. And let's remember the story of Peter and John. They're not still walking the earth, right? Their bodies, their mortal bodies, still succumbed to death. They didn't really care about that. Paul, when he wrote this whole dialogue that we just read, or this monologue we just read, as he's writing to this church, and he writes this letter, he's in prison. He's going to his death. Like, his hope wasn't in that everything here would be good. He was expecting that because Christ rose from the dead, that now death was defeated, so it really didn't matter what happened to his mortal body here. And that's where our expectation lies. That's where our hope lies, if we're honest. Put up this picture here, would you, Bill? Some of you may be familiar with this picture. Some of you may not. Are you familiar with that picture? Anybody? Its common name is called the Disciples. Its real title, and Heather and Esther, please never do this. But its real title is called The Disciple Peter and John Running to the Sepulchre on the Morning of the Resurrection. That's the real title. Most people just call it The Disciples. It doesn't hang in the Louvre or the Met. It's actually in a train station in France. Let me give credit to the guy who wrote it. I mean, who painted it. There's a guy by the name of Eugene Bernand. His contemporaries were moving more to... He painted this in a time where his contemporaries were moving more to modernism style of painting, and so he was kind of considered the old fogey who was still doing the old school style. But some people have called this the greatest Easter painting ever. And I want you to just look. So Bill, give me the next one. Look at Peter and John's face. Verse 8 hadn't happened yet, but they're hoping. And I can't do justice what a guy by the name of Mike Frost wrote about this, so I'm just going to read what he wrote. As the first blush of dawn is tinting the clouds, Peter and John are rushing to the tomb. They've just been told by Mary Magdalene that she and the other women found it empty, that Christ had risen. I think that was an insert because Mary didn't say that, at least in John's text. Her words are ringing in their ears. They've taken him, right? But their faces and their bodies reveal they aren't sure they can believe her. John, the younger of two, wringing his hands together anxiously. He was with Jesus when he died on the cross, the only disciple to stay by his side to the end. He looks as if he can barely bring himself to believe that Christ may be alive again. Remember, John was the one who was sitting there when he said, "Son, here's your mother, and mother, here's your son." Jesus was taking care still of his mortal duties, right? The duties that humanity was supposed to have. The son was supposed to make sure the mom was taken care of. If the father was not still around, and Jesus hanging on the cross still wanted to make sure that he was doing that for his mother, so he does. And he looks at John, and John has seen him die. Like, he physically watched it with his eyes. And then there's Peter. While John was Jesus' only faithful disciple, in this moment, Peter was his most faithless. He was the only one to verbally deny even knowing Jesus in his darkest hour. In this picture, Peter looks terrified, hopeful, ashamed, desperate. He's not sure he can believe the reports, but he wants to. Oh, how he wants to. How did Bernan capture such a variety of emotions in one face? Peter's hands clasped to his chest as if feeling for courage, the courage that deserted him just nights earlier. They both leaned forward, walking briskly, readying themselves to break into a run. This picture crackles with kinetic energy. It's a study in desperate anticipation. Surely this is the posture with which we should approach Easter, leaning in, wringing our hands, clutching our chest, desperate for it to be true. Isn't that what the Lenten season is about? Haven't we been bearing the burden of our brokenness, ashamed of our denials of Christ, hoping against all hope that Jesus is alive and that he loves us, and more than that, that he forgives us? Bernan depicts no women, no tomb, no gardener, only the promise of what's to come. That's our experience of the resurrection too, isn't it? We take it by faith, and we're desperate for it to be true. We rush headlong into the future, holding ourselves in order to believe, trusting that Christ is alive, that he will return to vindicate our feeble faith and forgive us our trespasses. And then he ends his little piece on this with, "May this overlooked masterpiece be a comfort to you this Easter. May your faith increase and your brokenness be healed. May your eyes be filled with the same desperate hope that Peter and John's were on that very first Easter morning." It's the reason that we gather. We have friends and we have family. And we have ancestors who have all gone before us. And what they had hoped would be true, they now realize is. And we share that every Easter. We share that every Sunday. We share that every Monday through Saturday. We're hoping against all hope that God does love us, that he has forgiven us, that he has defeated death, that we don't have to mourn. And so this morning, we can bring all that with us to celebrate Christ for who he is and what he has done and what we hope for him to do, because he can handle our hope, right? Because in our hope, there's an element of doubt, but Christ is okay with that. He can handle that. We can run to see. We can move forward with hope. And my prayer is that little by little, because we won't be perfected until the end, but little by little, our hope will turn to expectation. That our hope will turn to faith. That the evidence of what is not seen will be realized and we will have it tangibly. We see it a little bit, just like Paul said, I see through a mirror, just a little bit murky. One day I'm going to see fully. That's our hope, is that one day we will see fully, and that when the picture is cleared, it's going to be better than any picture we can imagine right now, right? And so this morning we get to come to the meal with expectation on some things. And if we're honest, just some hope on some things. That Christ is who he says he is. That he loves us. That he does call us children. In light of our misgivings and our failings, that Christ has shed his blood for us. None of us saw this. None of us could pass a lie detector test. But we stand in hope. And as Christ has been faithful to us, for some of us in some small areas of our life, that hope has been turned to expectation. And more and more and more, as the Holy Spirit moves in our lives, we will get there. It will never be perfect faith. But it's okay that it's not. Thanks, Vic. It's okay that it's not. It was okay for Peter and John, because one day it will be realized. And so this morning we get to come with joy, because even when we doubt, Christ still rose for us. He still defeated death. He still took on our sin. And so this morning we get to come with joy. So would you bow your heads and pray with me as we pray to a God that we hope hear us? that we expect will hear us, God. Where there is still doubt, would you answer prayers little by little? Or lot by lot, if we're being honest. Would you give us faith where we doubt? But God, we are thankful that we can come with our doubts. And so we sit with those this morning. We worship with those this morning. We're going to come and take communion this morning with a little bit of doubt. But it's hopeful doubt. As the writer of Hebrews said, we will be able to see the realization of that, like Peter and John. We can look in and see your glory revealed, and some of that hope transforms to faith. God, would your Holy Spirit move us? Strengthen our faith each day. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. If you would like more information, please visit us at www.mosaiceasley.org.